Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list, and the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Conservative Voice here on WWDB 860 AM. I'm Don Beuschel Jr. here along with my good friend and co-host, Joanne Suppressi. Today we are going to have four great guests scheduled to come on. To introduce those guests, I'm going to turn it over to my co-host, Joanne Suppressi.
Hey, everybody. I hope you're having a great day. Just be careful on 95. There's a lot of traffic out there.
There's traffic everywhere today.
You had traffic on the turnpike too, Don?
Yeah, when I got off, I came in the back way, so...
Oh, okay.
Came through Conshohocken and all that good stuff. So that's all right. It was a nice drive-in.
Yeah, had a new drive today.
Yes.
Yeah, so we have four really incredibly inspiring guests today. We have our freedom fighter, Senator Doug Mastriano, who we have on here almost every week. And we're so grateful that he joins us every week because he is so busy. And then we have two incredible women who are from the Moms of Liberty, Montgomery County chapter. They are Kristen Murphy and Vicky Flannery. And we also have the ultra-inspiring Simon Campbell, whose Pensbury School Board video has been viral since he stood up to the school board president and others on the school board. So it looks like we're going to have a really great show today.
Yep. So I guess we'll start out as we always do with our good friend, Senator Douglas Mastriano. Senator, thank you and welcome. So obviously, let's get right to the nice good stuff. So last week you were on and you had introduced sent out the letters for the audit. And I seen right away our good friend Josh Shapiro and Governor Wolf and the Secretary of State pushed back, and they sent out basically threats to the counties. So where are we at on things right now?
Well, it's kind of ironic, and this is the same Josh Shapiro who refused to investigate the failed policies of Wolf and Levine last year, resulted in 16,000 dead of our elderly in long-term healthcare facilities as a result of failed policies. And instead, Josh Shapiro is investigating home, not the source of the problem. So we see he's a political hack from the get-go. Mm-hmm. And, that he and Governor Wolf resort to juvenile name-calling. I mean, we could play this game. What's appropriate adjective for them? I mean, you pick it.
Right. Hey,
treacherous, traitorous. I mean, if they're going to call me insurrectionist. Both of these gentlemen here who never served a day in the military, who never laid anything on the line to serve their country, have enjoyed the benefits of wealth and prosperity handed down to them from their families. I mean, the irony. And I'm sick of these people here. And so they just need to shut the heck up and do their jobs. I'm tired of politics and politicians, especially these types of politicians who all they care about is their party narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And for Governor Wolf to stoop to the level of saying, this is a danger to our democracy. First off, 7 years as governor, he's even the former governor we have. So, okay. And I will do everything I can to stop this. Okay. So, you know, he is used to himself being king and a monarch of this commonwealth here. And he fails to remember there's three branches of government that are co-equal. And I do, under the U.S. Constitution, Article 1, Section 4, Paragraph 1, the legislative bodies of the states do have oversight in the manner and conduct of elections.
Right.
So they can scream and holler all they want. You know, Don, I was thinking the other day, actually yesterday, I remember all the outrage where the difference with Hillary Clinton's run against Donald Trump was a lot closer. And I thought it was ironic they never called for, you know, a forensic investigation there. Because you know why they didn't? Because they know the fraud and corruption will probably be exposed. So,
right.
You know, they screamed and hollered about Russia collusion, but they didn't utter any support for an investigation as I'm doing. And anyway, so where do we stand on it? They could say and do what they want. We're moving forward. Eventually this summer, we'll have a committee vote to authorize me to issue subpoenas. And it'll move forth. And I do anticipate, of course, Philadelphia will probably challenge it in court, which is fine. That's part of our system of government. And we'll let a judge, you know, make the final decision on this whole thing here. But we're moving forward, you know, with or without support from the Democrat Party. And we're going to do the right thing. Because I do know overwhelmingly in Pennsylvania, the fact is I work for the people. They want this to happen. I want it to happen as well, too. So many people don't trust that their vote counts. And so this is one way to either vindicate Josh Shapiro and President Biden, or show that a lot of things have gone wrong.
Well, one of the things I wanted to ask you about is I saw a report of Tioga County saying that they were not going to comply. And then I saw this morning another report that York County, which is your county, they hadn't said they weren't going to comply, but they have questions about certain things. So I'm sure you're going. I know you. You'll answer any questions that people want to ask you about the procedures and so going forward. But I guess what I'm more concerned with is our Republican counties caving to these veiled threats of decertification of machines. They're not going to pay for new machines if they get decertified. So it seems to me this is the old ball game of the Democrats use, that they're using scare tactics and intimidation. And I think it's going to be up to us to stand up to them. What's your opinion on all this?
Yeah, I mean, I do know for a fact that the scare tactic of decertifying the machines, it does have a big effect on the leaders of the counties, because where are they going to come up with the money then? Okay, so as background for the people out there, so I issue this, and of course, Governor Wolf mobilizes his Department of State, which has been very politicized from Bookbar to today.
Which is supposed to be independent, but that's a whole different story.
That's right. And we probably should look at that being an elected office rather than appointed, as many other states have. But that's an aside. And so the Secretary's acting Secretary of State, she hasn't been approved by the Senate. She issued guidance saying, if you touch any of these machines, we're going to decertify them, which means you guys will pay a lot of money in getting new machines, which I don't know. That's a bad idea, since so many things are compromised. So, you know, maybe, look, how we proceed and how it's paid for, I prefer the Arizona model. You know, in the end, Senate leadership's going to have to decide, and they're going to have to live with whatever decision they make, because I don't think that we should put this on the taxpayers.
Right.
But I do think that an addendum to the vendor that we hire to do the forensic investigation should be that they have to cover the cost of replacing the machines. And, you know, they could do that through 501Cs. And
right.
That's the way to overcome this problem here and actually get machines that are probably reliable.
Yeah. What I find really interesting that you brought out when you first started speaking, Senator, is that Josh Shapiro, you know, what him and Wolf jump up and want to get all emotional about. You know, they didn't get all emotional and want to dig into anything about the deaths of the nursing homes, you know, or anything like that. You know, they didn't, you know, want to even discuss those topics, you know, but here they are jumping right here, you know, getting on CNN and all the news stations, you know, getting into as many people as they can, you know, to knock out this, you know, audit that you were trying to get. You know, it's just, you know, we got to really pay attention to what, you know, what they're talking about and what they're not talking about.
No, and that's a great point, Joanne, because, you know, as far as the deaths of 16,000, and then, you know, Levine being duplicitous by knowing the danger and smuggling Levine's own mommy out of a home mm-hmm. to the safety of an expensive suite down the street in Hershey, and that there was no outrage from
nope.
anybody, especially the media, and they got a free pass, you know, and, oh, don't you think that was inconsistent, Dr. Levine? You know, y'all, it may appear so, but my mom was very lucid at 95. I mean, this stupid response, mm-hmm. and that the media just, okay, that's nice, we love you.
Yep.
But yeah, that there's no outrage by the physical deaths of 16,000 mm-hmm. of our elderly in the state, but this fake outrage. I mean, I swear I needed to run over a box of tissues when Josh Shapiro was on CNN with Jake Tapper the other day. The alligator tears and this faux outrage. I'm thoroughly embarrassed by him.
Well, the other thing I saw some reports of coming out of the Arizona audit that they have found some stuff about some voter discrepancy and stuff like that. But I have you seen an actual official report on the Arizona audit yet?
Well, I mean, the official handwritten report will come out, you know, soon. But here's what was briefed yesterday.
Okay.
That there was almost 4,000 voted despite not even being registered before the deadline of 15 October. So 4,000 illegal votes at the top. Another over 11,000 voted who were not on the voter rolls until after November 7th, past the election. So those are illegal votes.
Right.
So right there, about 14,000.
Yeah, 14,000, 15,000, yeah.
Wow.
So now, and add to that 18,000 who voted, and then they disappeared from the voter rolls. Wow. So we're now pushing 30,000. And then there's almost 75,000 mail-in ballots. There was no evidence. Well, there were pristine flat pieces of paper that were never folded and put in envelopes.
Right.
Almost 70,000. There's evidence that election servers were hacked during the election and not supposed to be online, but apparently some were. And many of the routers still have not been handed over to the investigators. Original and duplicate ballots were not marked and cannot be verified, and they lacked the serial numbers that are required on every ballot. And anyway, all access logs were wiped March of this year. The number of overall votes certified does not match the number of ballots that were sent to the audit team and physically counted. So, Biden was ahead in that election by 10,400 some votes, and we're looking at
a lot.
Senator Wendy Rogers, she's a first colonel in Arizona.
You're breaking up a little bit, Doug.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, we got you. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, Senator Wendy Rogers from Arizona, retired Air Force Colonel, who was one of our hosts when we were there last month. She's actually calling for the decertification of the electors. There's a big debate whether that can happen after they've already been certified at the federal level.
Right.
But for sure, though, this is a strong court case. And it's my belief that it's going to have to be decided in federal court in the end.
Yeah, well, as I have said to people that are even criticizing what you're doing here in Pennsylvania, and I said to them, you know, my response to them is that you guys have already anticipated the possible court challenges, and that's why you're proceeding in the meticulous and patient manner that you are, which, again, I understand a lot of people's frustrations, but when you go forward with something like this, you have to be able to withstand the court challenges that are certainly going to come, especially when you have a Pennsylvania Supreme Court with the track record we have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I agree. You know, and Don, it's like no matter what you do, there's always a group out there on our side. You were critical. You know, it's why did it take this long, or why is it an investigation instead of audit? I mean, so many silly things. We're doing the people want us to do. I'm doing the right thing. And so let's just get on board and stop nitpicking and picking. There's nothing to nitpick at. Let's just, you know, it's not a foregone conclusion. I mean, if not enough of us stick together, there's enough resistance on our side here to eventually kill this. So we have to stick together. If you want it to get done, then get on board.
And that's the thing that bothers me about the people within our group that are pulling at things from all different sides. Everybody wants the same end result. So instead of nitpicking, like you said, on certain procedures or certain things or certain that, let's just all work towards the end goal, yeah. The final verdict. I mean, that's what we should be doing as a state.
Yeah, and anything worthwhile takes time. I mean, a person who, you know, gains a lot of weight, you know, it's going to take them a long time to, you know, lose their weight and get healthy again. You know, a person who developed a drinking disorder, you know, an alcoholic, it's going to take them a long time to overcome that. And here we are, it's, you know, another type of situation. Anything that is damaged, and, you know, this is not just, you know, something that has happened over the last few weeks. You know, this has been in the works for years, these people, you know, working on on these things. And, you know, so we have to unravel a lot of stuff. And this takes a lot of time. it takes a long time to heal, you know, and even in this area.
Yeah. No, I agree. And, you know, as notorious, especially Philadelphia is for these kind of shenanigans, I mean, it's going to take a lot of work. There's going to be a lot of resistance. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot of court challenges. Arizona took months and months and months because of court challenges. Mm-hmm. But they won all the cases, though, consistently.
Well,
so, you know, Joanne, you're right. We have to persevere.
Yeah, I know. I was involved in one court case over 10 years ago, and it was just me against another person, you know, and it took, you know, years just to deal with that. You know, we're dealing with a whole system here, you know.
Well, and what I was having this conversation last night with someone about this, and so of course they brought up the fact that there were all these court challenges that President Trump's team did, and they got kicked out and all. And I said, you need to understand that of all those court cases, no evidence was ever presented. They were pushed out on some kind of technicality, mm-hmm. whether it was standing or so forth. And I said, but this is a perfect example of why what we're doing here in Pennsylvania is the correct method. When they were filing all these briefs for these cases, they were under a time constraint. And so obviously, you know, in my opinion, they probably did things in a quick way and so they could get things before the court. And of course, the court kicked it out on technicalities and procedures and so forth and so on. And so now, instead of rushing something to satisfy some false mm-hmm. Hope of people, we're doing it in a meticulous and legal way, which is what we like. We want to follow the Constitution as it is set up.
Yeah, leave no stone unturned.
Right.
And I'd like to also say this, you know, with what I was saying before, you know, a person who's, you know, trying to lose weight or a person who's trying to overcome alcoholism, you know, if you're constantly attacking them and beating up them, you know, for not, you know, growing fast enough or for, you know, doing it in a way that you don't think is the right way for, you know, them to do it, you know, it's going to be harder for them to succeed. You know, they're going to run out of steam and energy. And same thing with everybody attacking, you know, Senator Mastriano and everybody else who is, you know, trying to do these things to secure our elections and, you know, all the other things that they're trying to do. You know, if you just keep beating after them and, you know, and going after them, it's going to tire them out faster. I mean, we know Senator Mastriano has a ton of energy, you know, but, you know, we're all human. And, you know, the constant attacks is not helping, especially from the people in our own party.
Right. And that's the one thing I say, Senator, to people is, so not only have you been fighting to get the state reopened from the illegal shutdowns that the governor did, and then of course election integrity, but you're also an acting Pennsylvania senator, and there is other legislation that you also have to have your attention to. So it's not like you're saying, okay, well, I'm going to forget about everything else and I'm going to just attack these things. You're also doing the people's business, which is also required of you as an office holder.
Yes, so
yeah, that's right.
So let's try to encourage, you know, and give energy to, you know, and offer assistance and help, you know, instead of attacking.
So
and it was very frustrating because, you know, I announced this forensic investigation, and I think I alluded to this on the radio last time, and just literally 7 hours later, I'm on the line with, you know, self-proclaimed conservatives who are questioning, is this Arizona light because it's not an audit? I'm like, so, I mean, you know, being accused of all kinds of things before the ink is even dry mm-hmm. on the announcement, and people just jumping to conclusions because it's different language. Where I'm actually using legal language
yes.
that's within our Constitution that reflects my constitutional authority to give me more. In Pennsylvania is different. There's a lot more Byzantine rules and things and statements in Pennsylvania as opposed to Arizona, I'm finding. And so that's just the language of Pennsylvania. So just, you know, not instead of on that call with a group of conservatives, they're like, hey, we're glad this is happening. How can we help you out? Mm-hmm. It's like, we're not so sure about the language. We think this is going to be soft pedaling. I'm like, I became very agitated.
Yeah.
Like, really?
Understandably.
Well, and you know, and part of that, and look, I always try to look at both sides of the coin. And I understand that people, because of things that have happened, you know, may be frustrated, may have mistrust or whatever the case may be. But let's direct that to the people that it should be directed to and not the people that have actually been fighting since the beginning for things that we need. I mean, we have plenty of people in our party that have been fighting against what you're trying to accomplish since day one. Let's direct your anger towards them instead of the people that are actually trying or that are out there doing it, you know, and mm-hmm. and so that's the kind of thing that bothers me. So, and
that's
I said to people,
point.
Yeah, well,
good point.
The thing I said mm-hmm. to people is, you know, an investigation is actually better than an audit because mm-hmm. that gives you the ability to not only count votes, but look at machines, look at procedures.
That's right.
You know, I mean, so an investigation is actually more entailed than an audit, so to speak. So again, the terminology.
Yeah, because didn't Josh Shapiro do two audits already?
Yeah. And it's junk in, junk out. You know, if you're going to count the same illegal votes, you're going to get the same illegal results. You know, I mean that's the goes. But so one of the things you mentioned, which I thought was good to bring up. So are you looking at the same vendor that did Arizona? Is what you guys are looking at it when it comes to that point?
So in my recommendation, we looked at about five vendors, but my recommendation is the Arizona one, obviously.
Right.
They have the experience.
And would they, again, I know you put in that caveat about them being responsible for the machines. Is that something similar to what they've done in Arizona, or is that something that we're going to have to address on a separate issue?
Yeah, we're going to have to address it separately. Obviously, they're learning a lot on the fly in Arizona. And so I'm thankful that they were, you know, leading the way, because there's a lot of things they learned that otherwise we'd be picking up the slack for.
Right.
And there's key distinctions that they have a president of the Senate who actually issued the subpoenas and who's leading the charge, Senator Karen Fann. And the other distinction is they have a Republican governor, you know, no matter what you think of him.
Right.
Still a Republican governor. And here, obviously, the tables are turned a lot of ways. You have a, you know, fairly junior senator from a committee, you know, that not a lot of people heard of, trying to lead the fight in this. Mm-hmm. And we have a Republican governor a Democrat governor, I wish, and a Democrat attorney general, unlike Arizona. And so Arizona, they're going to probably refer charges to some of the county officials to their Republican attorney general. Obviously, on our side here, it's going to be obstructionist by Josh Shapiro. He's not going to want to lift a finger.
Yeah, unfortunately, it is a fight against the powers that be, so to speak. And unfortunately, a lot of people tend to listen to it and they're dismissive because their agendas are not being met. And that's, you know, again, I guess when you get into this kind of fight, you kind of expect that, but you would hope that the people that are supposedly on your side would be, you know, standing with you and not constantly going against you because this little technicality or that little technicality is not exactly what they want or whatever the case may be. I think if we just focus on the end result, let certain advocates do their fight, you do your fight, and in the end, when everybody comes together, when two columns pinch the enemy in the middle, that's how you win the battle.
Hmm.
Yeah. And so, but you know, we focus a lot on the detractors and the Democrats here, but I'm hearing from many, many, many more people that want to volunteer that are asking how they can help. And so that just reflects that the mood in Pennsylvania here, the people, and it's just ironic. I'm only 2 years into this year. Mm-hmm. And it just that so many people that have been doing this for their lifetime seem to have less political savvy and sense than a junior guy, you know, fresh out of the Army, which is really bizarre to me. This is, first off, this is the right thing to do.
Right.
And second off, the people want it.
And the nice thing is that we have, as you said, we have people that have gathered information that are willing to get it into you. I sent you a message about a candidate that we had worked with here. And she has stuff that she compiled that nobody would pay attention to. So I have suggested to her to reach out to you and
thank you.
But she has, you know, she has videotapes, she has affidavits, she has all that stuff. And, so Ruth has a lot of stuff that I'm sure she would love to share with you. But, you know, I think if we just, like I said, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but we have to focus on the end result. And how we get there, hey, some people run, some people walk, mm-hmm. some people like vanilla ice cream, some people like chocolate. I mean, but in the end,
some people skim over, some people focus on the details.
That's
and we
right.
have a senator that's focusing on the details,
right.
You know.
So before we let you go, Senator, is there anything else you would like to add?
No, just ask people this. Stay the course and stay strong. It's mm-hmm. not going to be a straight path in doing this. There's going to be fights and battles everywhere. There's a lot to hide in Pennsylvania, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I
did say early on that the Republican counties will be waiting for the subpoenas because they receive legal counsel. You know, what is printed by the media, who's always adversarial to people like us, and mm-hmm. always antagonistic towards Republicans. You know, what they say about York County and Tioga County, it's irrelevant. When the subpoena comes forth, That's when it really matters.
Right. And by you giving them 3 weeks to reply, it takes that argument out of the of a legal argument that they would say you didn't give them enough time to assess the situation and reply and all that stuff like that. I mean, and I tell people this all the time when they're talking about this, is they have to understand that you, as a former military officer, you basically can see these things popping up in the front. It's like when your chess is different from checkers, and because in chess you have to think 5 to 6 moves ahead or more, you know. So and that's what this is. You've said last time you were on the show, you've already factored in the possible legal challenges. You factored in the time frame. You factored in the subpoenas. Obviously, you've given thought to the what would happen if they decertified the machines and the cost. So it's not like you're just going into this and saying, hey, you know what? I'm Doug Mastriano, and I want to just do an audit because, you know, I'm the guy that wants to cause everybody a hard time.
Yes. Yeah. So. You know, it's just interesting, you know, while – most of the General Assemblies, you know, on their summer break. And just like last year, we worked through the freedom rallies and the reopen rallies and, you know, worked our tails off trying to strategize to overcome Wolf. And so this summer's project, you know, is another thing. And it's not fun. It's not enjoyable. The crap I have to deal with behind the scenes is just absolutely mind-numbing. But I'm determined not to let this small stuff bother me. We're just going to get this done. We're going to walk in with a lot of prayer cover from people, with wisdom and discernment on how to do this. There's going to be lots of opposition from, you know, left and right. But we're going to move forward, and we're going to do our darnest to make this happen.
Yeah. Well, I know it's a thing, but, obviously just, you know, keep the course, keep the faith, and, we'll keep beating the bushes and giving you support on our end, and hopefully in the end we find out the truth of what happened.
Yeah, and yep. Thank you so much, Senator, for everything you're doing, not just here, but just everything else with all the bills you're doing, trying to fight for our freedom more in our state.
Yep.
So,
well, the voter ID, election reform.
Yep.
I mean, as I tell people, you're not just doing this, you're doing other things as well, so.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Well, just watch this. So how, you know, if I don't have the support from, you know, leadership here, just watch if my bills move or not. That's, you know, a bunch of lobbyists in Harrisburg have already been told not to give to my campaign. You know what? I don't want their money. The people are supporting me. We're going to be, it's not about the money anyway. Well, and then the next thing is just don't move Mastriano bills to show them that we're displeased with them at the upper levels. So just watch that.
Yep. And that's the thing, we need to realize something, that we, the people, are the ones that control. It's not the special interests. It's not the corporations and stuff like that.
And again, they're the ones that are funding the lobbyists.
Right. When you get down to it, Joanne, yeah. Think about it. We proved that it doesn't have to. And I always bring this up, but Stacey Garrity's election proved. Mm-hmm. That special interests and the hierarchy and the establishment, the grassroots are the people that we are the ones that make this happen. The people make it happen.
Yes.
You know, so
absolutely.
So don't be disheartened. Everybody just keep moving forward. Try to be constructive with your criticism instead of tearing down. Gosh forbid. It's not, you know, we all want the same thing. We want to find out what happened and what the truth is and make sure it doesn't happen again. And if that leads to, you know, something, which I don't know even if there's a path for President Trump to be reinstated, I don't see it. I don't see the constitutional path. Some people do. If that's what motivates you, go for it. I just want this to never happen again.
Yeah, and we clearly know how important elections are.
Yes.
You know, who we put into office everywhere from school board to president. They matter greatly.
Yes.
So, you know, this is really important to be reassured that our, you know, election process is secure, you know. So, thanks again, Senator.
Yeah, thank you.
Give your
wife a big hug from both of us.
Absolutely.
I will.
Yes.
And we will be talking to you again.
Yeah, every time every time I just hear of your wife, her name, you know, I just immediately smile.
Well, thank you.
Well, you guys were great at the Berks County thing. I was watching some of the video. You were there with Kathy Barnett, and I think it was just fantastic with the way it all went down. So,
That was a great event.
Yeah.
And we had a great day. We were in Berks County all day. We had a homeschool event, probably, I don't know, 150 families. And yeah, it was a good time.
Yep.
God is good.
Yep.
Thank you
awesome.
For all that you do. Have a great weekend.
You too. Take care now.
And make sure everyone follows him on Fighting for Freedom, Doug Mastriano, and then his senator page as well.
That's right.
Thank you.
All right. Take care, guys.
See you guys.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, so next up we have two of our. I think I just cut Kristen off.
Kristen, call back.
Kristen, call back.
But we still have Vicky.
We still have Vicky. Don's pressing the wrong buttons again. Not the first time.
Yeah, well, I just saw Kristen disappear.
Yes.
I'm like, what?
I don't know how that happened. I thought I pressed the right button, but I guess not. So anyway, we have Vicky on from Moms for Liberty in Montgomery County. Up there, Kristen's calling back. That's good. Sorry about that, Kristen. So ladies, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hello.
Thank you. Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, great. Thanks so much.
Don cut you off, so it's his fault.
Yeah, and thank you for holding on while we were talking to the Senator Mastriano. It's really appreciated.
Yeah, so, no problem.
Yeah, so you ladies are part of the Montgomery County chapter of Moms of Liberty. And can you let us know what Moms of Liberty is? And from what I'm aware, it's only a few months young. So also, enlighten us with how much it's grown, even in the last few months.
Yeah,
sure, I'll let Vicky take that part.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So our Moms for Liberty was founded by two moms in Florida. They're both former school board members, so Tina Dusevich and Tiffany Justice, and they founded it because they saw an imbalance of power and wanted to help parents stand up and take back the education of their children. So right now, Moms for Liberty across the United States has 65 chapters that are established. And we actually have some people in Canada currently requesting chapters. Moms for Liberty was founded in February, so we're very young. We had a goal of 50 chapters in the United States by the end of the year, and currently we have 65 chapters. Like I said, we have 20,000 plus members. Wow. Throughout the United States, and we have 100 plus pending chapters.
Wow.
At the moment.
Wow. So all in about 6 months, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
So currently in Pennsylvania, we have 7 chapters. In the state of Pennsylvania, we have over 2,000 members. So our chapter of Montgomery County was the first chapter in Pennsylvania. I am the co-chair along with Maureen Bogut. And we have 739 members in Montgomery County.
Wow.
As of the last time I checked this morning. And we were established on May 7th of 2021. So we are very young.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. So we know why you are so popular and why the Moms for Liberty is growing. But can you explain to everybody else why there is such an influx of people interested in this organization and in these chapters?
Yeah, so we're finding that, a lot of parents are fed up with the continued back and forth on, are we masking? Are we not masking? Mm-hmm. Will vaccines be mandated? Will they not? We are all about, giving parents the choice. Again, these are our children. So mm-hmm. we stand up for the ability to make decisions for our children and not have somebody else make them for us.
Mm-hmm.
We are currently fighting back against things like critical race theory, which we're continuously told doesn't exist in our schools, despite the fact that we're finding it not in the curriculum. It's more in the teacher training methods. So the way that our teachers are trained in their in-service days is where it is being implemented in our classrooms.
Yes. And it's from what I've seen, I have two daughters too. It's being implemented in all varieties of ways through different classes, like even in math with math problems, and in English with the stories that they're forced to read. You know, it seems like they're just implementing in all of these strange ways. My daughter would come home and look, and it's like, Mom, again, look again. And I don't think, like, I mean, this was like a year and a half ago that, you know, this was like, it seemed like it was trickling in, because my other daughter, who's 4 years younger, did not have that. You know, so it's just in 4 years, there's been a big change in the curriculum, and it's in all areas of their curriculum, not just in like social studies class, you know, where these things should be taught, you know, in history lessons.
Exactly.
Well, one of the things that I thought was brought, it was interesting when you see this. So when they first started the remote learning, and I don't know if you guys remember the pushback from some of the Philadelphia teachers saying that they didn't want the parents to look over their kids' shoulders so they could see what they were being. Yeah, exactly. So it's because they're putting this, whether it's not using certain pronouns or as you said, the critical race theory or the 1619 project, or banning certain books because the books are racist or whatever. These are things that are slowly ebbing into our schools, and that's why one of the things we do here on this program is when we're interviewing school district candidates, we ask them conservative questions. We don't ask them about what their thought is on recess or stuff like that. We ask them, you know, what's your feelings on the Second Amendment? What do you believe as far as the First Amendment, and what do you believe as far as school choice? We exposed one so-called Republican school board candidate here on this show when I asked her specifically what was her thought on biological men, boys competing in women's sports. And this was a Republican school board candidate, and she said, well, I think that all sports should be unisex. And I said, and you're a Republican, correct? I said, so you're telling me that my daughter, who has competed in track for 3 years and is up for a college scholarship, will now lose her scholarship because a biological male decides he's going to compete in women's sports because he can't cut it in the men's sport. And I said, so you're telling me you're okay with that? Okay, and so these are the questions we have to start asking people when they're asking us for their vote. You know, it's not just good enough for them to say, oh yeah, I'm for, like, you know, free lunch and all that stuff like that. Because when you ask the conservative questions and where they stand on conservative issues, then you have an idea of where they're going to stand when they go to vote on a certain policy, on a certain curriculum, on books, and what they're going to let happen in the schools.
Yeah, well, so last night, before I let Kristen talk a little bit, so last night I'm in the North Penn School District. So we're the largest school district in Montgomery County.
Mm-hmm.
And we are arguing a lot of the same things that you just brought up. And it's quite funny. I say funny in a strange way.
Yes.
The way that we are being counterattacked, we are being called un-American, unpatriotic, for, you know, requesting that we have the rights over our children's education and the masks and things like that, and that we don't care about other Americans because we care about ourselves. And these kinds of things, like, a lot of parents need to understand that this is the kind of counterattack that we're going to get, but we can't back down. We need to stand firm in our morals and our values, and know that we are doing the right thing by our country by fighting for not just our children's rights, but mm-hmm. our rights as Americans.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, have you ladies heard of the BEST program, the BEST program?
Unfortunately, no.
Okay, well, I will actually send this stuff to you. Joanne and I were mm-hmm. at the Pennsylvania Leadership Conference a little while ago, and they actually did two seminars that were very enlightening, one on critical race theory, but on exactly what you were just talking about. And one of the things they found out that the school boards are actually treating parents as the enemy. And a direct and a direct quote they have is that parents are the opposition, and they're trying to cut parents out of the equation, and so. And this
they don't
all,
like that we're there.
Right.
They don't like it at all.
No.
And, well, and this goes back to, you know, Hillary's statement is the primary role of the state is to teach our children. You know, the parents' role is secondary. You know, it takes a village, the whole that whole thing. And I'm sure you guys have gone to the Pennsylvania Department of Education website where they actually speak about critical race theory on there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you click on that link and that you need to try this, it takes you right to the BLM website.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. Our opposition in North Penn is actually telling us that we are conspiracy theorists, that critical race theory doesn't exist.
Right.
And somebody actually got up last night and was like the largest teachers union in the country just got up and voted that critical race theory needs to be taught to our children. So how am I a conspiracy theorist?
Yeah.
Well, and our school board immediately, you know, started. You know, people in the audience started yelling at him, and our school board immediately shut down, and that was the end of the meeting.
Wow.
That's how it ended.
Wow.
It's incredible. One of the things that they're doing, this actually, critical race theory, is actually goes back to Karl Marx with his conflict theory. And then you go, and so some of the quotes that they do is, so to cure racism, you have to use racism. That's one of their tenets. You have to practice discrimination to battle discrimination. That's one of their tenets.
Yeah.
They use what they call a victim by proxy. So you're a victim by just being black. And they use what they call a sin by proxy. Because you're just by being white, you're committing a sin. So.
Yeah. And I'd like to share an example because... You know, they're saying that this stuff is not being taught in schools, but I actually went to the Moms for Liberty YouTube page, and I watched all the videos this morning before our show, and one of the Moms for Liberty brought out this second grade book that is being taught.
And in Tennessee?
I would like to just, you know, reiterate what she said in that video, but... It's called Separate is Never Equal, and it's aimed for second graders. And it actually says that the content is too complicated for kids. This is what's actually directed for the teachers. It's the content is too complicated for the kids to read, so focus on the illustrations instead. And one of the illustrations has Mexican kids behind a fence with a sign that says, no dogs and no Mexicans. And then there's a girl, I assume she's a black girl or brown girl, but she's sitting in crying in school with white kids all around her. And then there's a question in the book that says, where one of the students is asked, do you believe white students are superior to a Mexican in personal hygiene, scholastic ability, clothing, and their ability to take part in school? And the character says, yes, you know, so, you know, the book itself is, you know, from what I actually didn't read it, but from what the woman, the Moms for Liberty woman said, is that it's about a family fighting for equality, you know, and while that may be an appropriate book to read for an older person, but this is, you know, aimed at second graders.
That's a pretty tame example from what's happening across the country. And I mean, some of the stuff that our children are being taught, even in sexual education, which is not appropriate for the radio, is pretty rough. I have a local example. I know in the North Penn District, our children in middle school and grade school are being made to do privilege walk.
What? Can you explain what that is?
Sure. So the students are asked by their teacher to line up in front of the room, and then they are asked to step forward for each question that they can answer correct or, you know, answer that pertains to them. So we have the first question that is asked, and I don't know the exact order, but is if you have an iPhone, step forward. So those kids will step forward. If you have two parents in the home step forward. So the iPhone person, if they have two parents in the home, they take another step, and then other kids will take a step. And this keeps going.
Wasn't there I did actually see a video about that. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but wasn't there a question about thinness too?
Yeah. Quite certain. Like, I don't know the exact question, but I know where it ends.
Yeah.
And the questions all ended with, if you're the color of a Band-Aid, step forward. So once it's all over.
Oh, Lord.
Whoa.
Yeah. So once it's all over, everyone has to turn around and apologize to all the people behind them.
Wow.
And from my understanding, from what I've been told, that this was an exercise that this particular teacher did weekly.
Weekly.
So they're trying to basically indoctrinate the kids that they are.
They feel bad.
They
for,
should be.
You know,
they
having,
yes.
having a mom and dad in the house,
right.
or having an iPhone, or, you know, things that, like, as kids, like, we would never have, like, we would have been like, oh man, he's got an iPhone, like, that's cool, but we would have never.
Exactly. How
bad.
Can I get one? You know.
Or like, you know, it sucks that my parents are divorced. Like, I don't like it, but now the guy who's got a mom and dad in the house has to, like, feel bad that their parents, you know, it's just, it's not something that a child of that age can comprehend.
Mm-mm.
So it's not something that we should be working on with children of that age.
Well, indoctrination is best achieved when it starts at an early age. I mean, and so that's their whole goal, is to make these kids, so when they get to a certain age, it's already part of their basic DNA and their thinking that, oh, you know, I'm special because I'm white, or I caused you to be held down because you're a different color or something like that. I mean, that's their goal. Kathy Barnett, when she talks about this, talks about it perfectly, is they're creating little racists.
She says churning out
little
racists. I love
racists.
That. Churning out.
Well, yeah. And my favorite quote, real quick, before I'm taking all the time. My favorite
well, that's
quote,
all right. We have another hour, so.
My favorite quote from Ibram Kendi, and this is something that should really resonate with your listeners, is he says that to truly be an anti-racist, you need to be an anti-capitalist.
Yes, yes. I'm hearing that more and more. And you know what? It's like that lineup exercise that you mentioned. It's like, why can't they line up the kids and be like, all right, if you have this character, you know,
right.
like line up for success, you know, like
right.
if you have this character, step up, you know, if you have, you know, this character, step back. But no, it's all about things that, you know.
How about if you did something good? Did you help your neighbor shovel their walk in the wintertime?
Yeah. Yeah. What happened to the star thing? Like,
exactly.
Put up on the wall.
So let's bring Kristen in here, because Kristen, we were speaking yesterday and you told me that you are similar to my co-host, Joanne. You're a life coach and all that good stuff.
Ooh, I'm so excited.
So let me ask you how what you do correlates to what you're doing with Moms of Liberty.
Okay, sure, absolutely. So first of all, thank you for having me on the show. I have been a substance abuse therapist for 20 years, and I've worked with an extremely diverse group of people throughout those 20 years. Recently, over the past 2 or 3 years, I decided that I would prefer to be a life coach instead. I got certified in NLP. Joanne, I see that you are an NLP therapist.
Oh, yes.
NLP
I love NLP. It's my, yeah, it's my
yeah.
favorite.
Absolutely. And the reason I wanted to switch is because I have so much to say, so I'm going to really try to, you know, keep it short as I possibly can. It's just, I'm very, very passionate about this. It's been kind of like a lifelong process for me to get to this point. Long story short, again, every time I say that, it's long. as a kid, I was always called rebellious, nonconformist, doesn't like to listen to authority, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I always had this, like, stigma about myself because of that. But what I'm coming to find out over this past year and a half is that those characteristics that I were frowned upon have actually become my biggest strength.
Yes.
Because now that I'm realizing what's going on, it takes a lot of courage to be able to speak out against this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When you have society who tries to shame you constantly for for your beliefs being different, it's very, very difficult to speak out because of all the psychological manipulation because of the scapegoating and because of the virtue signaling. So people are scared to speak out because people are afraid that, excuse me, my son just came in. Shall we get in
here? That's fine.
Sorry. People are afraid to speak out because they're afraid that they're going to be looked upon as racist or sexist, or they're afraid that they're going to be accused of trying to kill people because they don't want to wear masks. So becoming, just to rewind, I'm getting a little off track, but the point I'm trying to make is that I've always been one to speak out against what society says. I've always been a free thinker, and unfortunately I've been punished for that a lot. But how it served me in my profession is that what I loved about dealing with people in my field is substance abuse. Like I said, you come across all kinds of people. I mean, I worked in Philly for many years, the suburbs. Without getting into my whole work history, I can just tell you that dealing with people, what I found was I was always able to find a common ground with them through empathy and through connecting. I always encourage my clients to go one step deeper and to go past their superficial appearances. In 12-step programs, people are, you know, they identify themselves as addicts and alcoholics. And the reason they do that is for identification purposes, for acceptance, so they can feel that connection. So when I ran group therapy, I would always tell my patients, you're a person first and foremost. Please do yourself a favor and leave your labels at the door. I would encourage them to go deeper and, like I said, just go beyond what their race, their age, their gender, their drug of choice, and kind of find that common connection. And the miraculous transformations that I witnessed when a person was able to kind of do that and really deeply connect to another person on a soul-to-soul level, they really found such an intimate, vulnerable connection, and the level of healing that I witnessed take place every single day was like, it was just so profound. And I mean, most of these people, if you know anything about people with addictions, I'm sure, Joanne, you've experienced this, 99% of them have had some kind of trauma. And trauma typically causes us to feel disconnected from ourselves. And when we feel disconnected from ourselves, we feel disconnected from other people, right? So when we feel disconnected from other people, we develop these coping mechanisms, okay? They're unhealthy. Some are unhealthy, some are healthy. And as a therapist and life coach, obviously, I'm sure you're following me here. But what happens is that people put walls up and they judge other people. They feel hatred for other people. They feel fear of other people. And the reason is because they're disconnected from themselves, right? So the reason why I feel so passionate about, well, the one of many reasons why I feel so passionate about this whole CRT thing is because it's an ideology that causes division. It's an ideology, as Vicky was talking about, how it shames our children into thinking they're wrong or they're bad for not having certain things or having certain things. It's, to me, it is, it's just really, really not a positive way to move forward as a society.
Well, don't
another
you,
reason,
okay. I just wanted to expand on that before you get one forward. So don't you find that the younger the mind, the easier it is to mold in the direction that they're trying to go to?
Yeah, absolutely. I do believe that. I think that yes, a lot of it does start at home, but a lot of it also happens in the classroom. You know, most trauma and happens, I think, you know, while children are still developing their personalities. So as children, it's what they hear. They're like little sponges. So absolutely what they hear, they believe.
Right.
Not only from the home, but from the school. So if they start to develop this like internal thinking that they're bad or that there's something wrong with them, wherever those messages come from, it's extremely detrimental, not only to their well-being, but like one of you said, that we're creating little racists. We're creating people to just turn against each other instead of finding that unity. You know, I mean, I'm all about freedom, and that's another reason why I feel so connected to this movement. I think that Moms for Liberty, we are really misunderstood. I think that because You know, people here.
Not on this side.
Moms for Liberty.
You're not misunderstood on this side.
Well, the media wants to take, the media wants to kind of like smear our names and say that we're like racist or whatever they want to say we are. But it couldn't be farther from the truth. Moms for Liberty is about freedom. We're about sovereignty. We are about like advocating for yourself and standing up for everyone. We don't, you know, there's nobody that is not welcome in our group.
Mm-hmm.
I also feel in my experience of working with substance abuse, I did have the opportunity to work with disabled veterans with PTSD. And a lot of them had military combat experience.
Right.
So as a result of that, they had a lot of trauma. And so I developed such a respect for our servicemen and women that I think that's another reason why I stand up for this fight. That's another reason why it's so important to me, because I just really think I found my calling here. So it's just something I'm very passionate about. And again, I just wanted to stress that we're not anti anything. What
right.
we are is pro choice, pro parent choice. And
yes.
I just, if anyone's listening and they're kind of on the fence if they want to join or not, I just really want to back up what Vicky said about please don't be afraid to speak up. Like, please don't be afraid, because this is like, this fight goes way beyond what you can even imagine. This is not just about curriculum changes, talking about like, you know, this is like you said, indoctrination.
Right.
And it's scary. It's really scary. So I just feel very passionate about feeling the need to, you know, to do something about it, everything I can.
Yep. Okay, well, that's our music for the... Are you guys able to stay on for the next hour?
Yeah, I'll be here.
Vicky, you good?
Yeah, I can stay on a little longer.
Okay, super.
I can stay on for a little while.
Okay, so stay on through the break. But we wanted to thank everybody for hanging on and listening to today's topic. We're going to keep this going. We'll be speaking more about the intolerance of the party of the intolerance. The party of tolerance is intolerance. Let's put it that way. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Joanne, thank you.
Thank you. Well, I'll be on for about 10 minutes for
okay,
the next show.
Okay, super. So we'll be right back as soon as they get done doing all their commercial stuff. Thanks for staying on, guys.
Please join us Mondays and Saturdays at 2 on WWDB for Investors Schooling Live with real estate and stock.